Hello and welcome to the second episode of the new Dark Knight Live. Yeah. Anyways, this is Spencer, your host, as usual. I sat down a little while ago with a fantastic editor inside of the city. His name is Jimmy Helm. I've actually known him for a really long time, but I found out that he's working with a fantastic studio. He does great work. You should check him out at www.jimmy-helm.com, or you can go check out some of his editing work. It's coming out later this year. It's called Cook Concrete. You can follow it at Cook Concrete on Facebook, or I guess they're on Twitter maybe, but it's spelled C-O-O-K-E, and it looks to be a really interesting film that's coming out this year. You should totally check it out. We sat down and we just talked about life a little bit about editing, because we usually interview people that are actively doing shows, like actors or directors. But when I sat down with Jimmy, I realized like how much you could really pay attention to the artisan work that is going into the back end of different kind of like films and any kind of like advertising you do, and you really start to pay attention to the fantastic backstage work that people do, or the fantastic behind the camera work that people do. Well, without further ado, sit forward and listen up. This is Dark Knight Live, episode 2 with Jimmy Helm. All right, so I'm here this week with
Jimmy Helm,
and we have known each other for a while, right?
For a long while. I think we first met in Memphis back in the early 90s.
Yeah, so Memphis in the 90s, imagine still the intense heat of the South, but instead just a little bit more, those polyester jumpsuits and like the puffy coats, I guess, more.
Oh my gosh, that was definitely the fashion of the time.
Yeah, for real. It's kind of like a roundabout way to get here, but so tell us a little bit about like your journey getting to Chicago, and like a little bit about what you do now.
Yeah, so I work as a film editor at The Colony, and you know, long story short, I've loved movies since I was a kid. Was always interested in them, and I have a lot of family nearby in Chicago, so when I was trying to choose where to go to school, Chicago kind of made sense.
So did you end up going to, like, did you go to USC, or where'd you go to school?
Well, I actually went to several colleges, because I couldn't figure it out. my first year was at UT Knox.
Yeah.
I took a video art class there, and my teacher said, you know, if you want to pursue this professionally, then get into one of the major cities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get somewhere where you can actually build something. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to move to Chicago. And then I went to Columbia College.
Cool.
Finished my degree. And yeah, so that's kind of what brought me here.
Cool. So, like, I've been doing the Chicago Artist Series for a little while now with DNL.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool to interview you, because I already knew you, but you're doing something, like, different than what I've interviewed before. So, like, tell us a little bit, like, what you do.
Right. So, I work in advertising. Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about, like, broadcast commercials, music videos, things like that. Essentially, what the film editor does is he takes all of the footage from production and, you know, cuts it down until it's either a 30-second spot or, you know, a 2-minute music video, something like that.
Yeah.
I pretty much take all of the footage from production and cut it into what you see on TV.
Yeah, and there's, like, it's really interesting. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, because I was like, I'm probably going to be interviewing somebody that's an editor soon. So, like, it's getting to the point now where I respect it more and more as I start to learn more and more about it. Because it's like watching somebody work with, like, collage work, right?
Yeah.
And how much do you usually start with for, like, a 30-second spot? Like, how much footage are you cutting down from?
I would say on average you're starting with a couple of hours for a 30-second broadcast commercial. Yeah.
That's intense.
And that's on average. I mean, I've cut, you
know. Is that like multiple takes, or is that just like they actually start with way more stuff than they're going to use?
Well, it's multiple takes, multiple camera angles.
Oh.
So if you're thinking you've got 20 different angles that they want, and they shoot each one 5 or 6 times at the minimum, then you can end up with a couple hours of footage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you usually, like splitting between, like, lots of different cameras to kind of place everything together?
Yeah. And my record for that is I once... one of the performance pieces I cut, I literally was cutting between 26 different cameras
on
the live performance. and so the way you do that is you have all of the video tracks, you know, tracked on top of, stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
And so then at any point in the song, I can look through any layer and see what my options are.
Oh, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
So like as you're going, you can like flip between different angles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you working with like 3 screens at the same time?
Two screens.
Yeah.
I don't think I've done 3 yet, but I want to.
So I have a friend of mine who does coding work.
Yeah.
And he works off of 4 screens, and it blows my mind.
I know. They just look like experts. You know, just the coolest people ever.
Yeah, for sure. Did you do any like theater stuff before this, or just like strictly film?
Yeah, so I did a lot of theater in high school. I did theater in college. Mm. Kind of the way my artistic growth went was my first love was the movies, was mm-hmm. cinema. And then I got into theater kind of in high school. And I love theater, I love acting. I continued to do that into college, but then I decided to focus on film for my career.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any, like, what's like, the big film moment that got you into it? Or do you have, like, a moment with a certain movie?
Well, so I guess the moment I was getting into it was, like, the late 90s.
Yeah.
And so, to be honest, one of the movies that I was obsessed with at that time was The Mummy.
Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
That's a random one.
It's so random. Like, and it's something you can't say at film school, because it's like, this has no artistic
merit.
It's completely embarrassing. So somebody's like,
Kubrick, and somebody's just like, yeah, I like The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Well,
really, I'm inspired by Brendan Fraser's work.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser just has an excellent body of work as an actor. but I'll say that was the first time that I started making my own movies based off of the storyline of The Mummy.
Cool.
I mean, in terms of what I respect out of filmmaking, it is Kubrick, it is Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And during my childhood and during teenage years, I was studying that as well.
You know, okay.
I kind of would go through like all of Hitchcock's work. And when I was watching it, I wasn't just watching it. You know, I was kind of studying the camera tricks he did and how he edited and how he structured a scene.
Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people about what it's like to get into the nuts and bolts of doing like theater and stuff. And it gets to the point where, especially when you're seeing big shows, that like you'll have effects that other people will get tricked by. Does it get to that point where you're just like, you can see the mechanisms behind like different shots? So like you have to kind of try to get the analytical part of your brain to shut up so you can just enjoy what you're watching now.
Oh, that's a very good point. yeah, enjoying movies can be a hard thing now because I am always analyzing. If a movie is so good that I stop analyzing, then I know it's really well done.
Yeah.
You know? But if there's a lot of things that are distracting in a movie and I'm seeing like, oh, I would have edited that differently or I would have, that's not good cinematography or something like that, then that'll take me out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of hard to just be an audience member after you've, you know, actually worked in it.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I can, I didn't even think about that for the different way you see, like, especially with seeing different angles and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you ever catch yourself, like, wanting to pull a project that's already done and just, like, go back to it and re-edit it again?
Oh,
and again?
Yeah, well, I think that's almost true about any art, like, art form.
Yeah.
I think artists in general, they're never satisfied with their work.
Yeah.
So, there's only one project I've cut where I look back on it now, and maybe there's, like, 2 things I would change, but there's not a lot of that project that I would change. You know, so it's very rare to hit satisfaction in your own work.
Yeah.
So
I listened to this cool podcast where what is his name? He played Eric on That 70 Show.
Topher Grace.
Yeah. So yeah. He was talking about getting more and more into direction and editing stuff, and he took
he took like all of Star Wars and he edited like all three of the original movies into 1 hour movie.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And he just like completely cut it back together in this other way. And I'm like, I don't know if I would ever get to the point where that sounded like a super fun for me to, or to like recut somebody's trailer.
Yeah. That would take so much time. I saw a video where an editor took The Wizard of Oz. Now, this is crazy. They cut The Wizard of Oz in alphabetical order, meaning they took every line of dialogue, every word, and they put all of the words in order.
That's insanity.
That's insanity.
Somebody sat down one day and they were just like, how can I waste 3 weeks of time?
Is it 3 weeks? I mean, like, how long would that take?
Years.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, like, what's so cool about that? I don't know, it's just so random.
Well, there's the guy that cut together the movie, it's the B-movie one. Have you seen that? Where he cut together and he double-timed the speed every time they said the word B.
Oh, that's
so
hilarious.
Like, the video is like 6 minutes long. Because it's just like, after like a couple of minutes, it's just sped up so fast that it's just like all the footage happening at the same time and then it's just done.
That's so funny.
Then I don't know what else you could even do that with. So instead of, you said you do, getting back to everything, so commercial work and like, have you done film as well, or is it?
Yeah, so, you know, where I work, you know, it's mostly commercials, broadcast stuff, but we do some narrative films as well. Mm. So I actually just finished cutting a narrative, which is like an hour and a half long, and it was a really, I don't know, it was a really fun experience because, you know, in the broadcast world, it's 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. You're building a story immediately, you're getting to the point immediately, you're getting to the product immediately. Mm-hmm. But with a narrative, you're building a performance, and you're building a story. And what's so cool about being an editor on a feature is that you really are in charge of how the actor is perceived, mm-hmm. you know? Especially
that's a good point.
Yeah,
they said that in theater. It's like, don't piss off the people that light you. Don't piss off the people that do things because
exactly.
they can make you look like crap.
Exactly.
It's like, don't piss off your editor because they can ruin your performance.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you can totally ruin it. You can also make it great, you know?
Yeah.
But in this film, there was a lot of improv done. And there was a lot of, do the take this way, do it this way, you know? So that's really leaving it up to me to decide what tone is right for the film, and to find the character's performance and their story arc within the entire film.
Cool. So. Are you going back in with the with like the creative side of it with the director and stuff when you go in through like editing cuts?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely a balancing act between the editor and the director.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's his film, so he's very much in charge of what he wants the tone to be. But it's what's fun about a feature is that you collaborate more because the director has created this, you know, and especially in this case, he was the writer and the director, you know, so he's completely created this story. And as an editor, it's cool to be able to tell him what's working and what's not working,
yeah.
you know, from maybe what he intended
kind
to
like raining
how it
back
stands.
Then.
Yeah. And finding a balance there.
The improv stuff, I will say from experience now, like, when we were shooting season 2, knowing how bad we had been in season 1 about like doing takes that do not mesh together from like two different angles, and it's just a complete nightmare to edit because it's just like if you're in a different tone from take A to take B to take C, those do not go together anymore. So like be prepared to have a whole bunch of different scenes that are just one take at one angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what did you originally start shooting on when you were younger? Like, did you have a video camera from mom and dad?
Yes. I think every young film student does. Yeah, I found my dad's. So the first camera I worked with was like my dad's 1980s camera. So
yeah.
You know, like the enormous cameras that went over your shoulder and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
It still had like a full like VHS player attached to the side of it.
I think it did have a full VHS that I was recording onto. Fortunately,
VHSs to anybody who's listening were an ancient type of watching device that people used to use. This is before DVDs. Okay, if you don't know what a DVD is, I can't help you.
Oh my God. So that was the first thing I filmed on. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was like a Sony, I think it was like a Digicam camera. So it was a smaller VHS that went into the side.
Yeah.
And it had one of the, like, the flip screens out and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, cool.
but what I will say about my amateur movie making experience was that I never had editing software until college. Mm-hmm. So the way that we would, you know, and I once made a 30-minute movie, you know, and the way that I would edit it was I would build the scene in my mind before I filmed it, and then I would shoot it in dramatic order. You know,
Oh, wow. So
I kind of created the editing as I filmed.
Like, if you don't like the cut, you just have to rewind over the VHS tape?
Yeah, and the trick there was I would rewind, and then you would play it, you would feel it out, and you would pause the second you felt that the cut should happen. And then you would turn it from record mode or from play mode to record mode. And then that would make a clean cut.
This is like super
desperate. It's super desperate.
Back when computers used to scream at you when you would get on the internet with the dial tone.
Yeah, exactly.
Back before there existed any kind of like Final Cut Pro. I don't know. We talked about this the other day. Is it insane to you that Final Cut this is getting like super meta for people that don't understand. But so I first started editing like about like a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
But you've been doing it for a while longer. Have you seen like the kind of like morphing from one editing software to the other and how they're like changing the way that they are?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Final Cut, at least in my world, you know, it lost its relevance probably, I think, 4 years ago. It's whenever Final Cut 10 came out. Mm-hmm. Because they essentially went away from being a professional editing platform, and they made it very user-friendly. So it kind of became the iMovie. They were definitely gearing Final Cut towards the consumer.
Yeah.
Instead of towards the professional environment.
Yeah.
So at that point, Final Cut, we just couldn't use it anymore because they lost a lot of features that we need.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of different aspects to the software, and then kind of came the rise of Premiere with Adobe, and then Avid. You know, that's kind of been the industry standard for a long time, and that's what I mainly work on.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
it's so interesting to like see people using like super 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 dumbed down editing software and turning out like really pretty good stuff.
I totally agree.
Did you see that? God, what was it? It's gonna bother me. It's the one that was shot last year completely on iPhone.
Oh no.
It's like Blue Ivy or something like that.
Was it in black and white? Was it Tangerine?
Tangerine, yeah. Yeah, the one that was shot like completely on an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And they didn't use like editing software, did they? Or did they just do everything on the phone?
Oh, I don't know about that. I feel like they must have used editing software.
Were they just like pulled it off of the phone though? That feels like cheating.
I kept on
thinking they were working on like Vine Editor or something like that.
Let's say they did, because that's really cool.
let's retcon that into existence. We've said it online, so it must be true.
Yeah, exactly.
According to what politicians say today. Whatever.
Oh, God. It's our alternative fact.
Yeah, it's our alternative fact of the day. Cool. So are you working on like any outside projects right now, or is it just like mostly your like professional work that you're on now?
It's mostly my professional work. The feature film was an outside project that just reached picture lock, you know, which means we're no longer editing. So that's now in color correction and audio mixing. And then it'll come back to us and we'll do visual effects and stuff like that. So that's still kind of ongoing. And cutting the feature was my main like co-curricular editing project for the last year or so.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you shoot anymore or just do like editing?
The last thing I shot was a music video probably 2 years ago. And I don't really miss shooting.
Like at all?
Not at all. I mean, I do remember the moment I started filming that thing, I completely recalled why I went into post-production.
Oh, really?
Was
it just like the hours?
It's the hours, and it's exhausting. Like, I would much rather sit at my computer and have my footage. There are only so many options, and just figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is, like, a very different sort of thing, where it's just, like, working with, like, solidarity versus working with the wild creature that is actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also in terms of performance, I prefer theater acting to being on set and film acting.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, like direction inside of theater is much, much closer to like editing work than direction for film is.
Yeah.
Because I from doing both of those, I can tell you, like, when you're doing theater and you're resetting and resetting and resetting, but then you're just like, you get it to a point where it's just running and you're just doing runs and runs and runs and just going in and tweaking little things.
Mm-hmm.
That feels much more natural to me now.
Oh, totally.
But like directing on set, I was finding out like what happens when you don't have like a stage manager, but you're having to fill that role at the same time and just having to like keep people on track and then also keep track of like what shot you're on, what angle you're on, what like what to call right before your thing.
Exactly.
So you can get your like actual stuff afterwards correctly.
Yeah. And then with film, just like you said, I mean, the cinematography, is that right? Is the lighting right? Is that continuous with the other shot, you know? Mm. Are they wearing the same thing? Is the hair the same? You know, all of the details of production, I find exhausting.
Yeah. So if you were going to talk to like somebody, you know, right at the like the beginning of their career instead of editing, what would be like your advice?
So at the beginning of their career, just regardless, or so just
like
in terms of editing?
I just got out of college and I've like been doing editing work instead of college.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure it out. What would be your suggestion?
So my suggestion is, let's see. Oh, blanked. We can cut this out.
Just lift this part out and replace it with an undertrack.
Yeah, right. What I would say is, you know, you do have to work your way up.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate that fact, and it's just the truth of it. You know, most people start as interns. Most people start doing things that are not related to editing.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just will hopefully have a moment where you can prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then to take advantage of that moment.
Yeah.
You know, my other advice to people coming out of college is your career does start, I mean, to be honest, it starts in college, and I know that always sounds cliche, mm-hmm. but it's so true, because the industries are smaller than you think when you're younger.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so you really, if you're in college, take this seriously, start building your contacts and your network and whatnot, and then especially when you enter the professional world, that's, I mean, day one of your internship is the day one of your reputation, and that's the most important thing. So that's kind of my advice.
Were you doing internships in college too, or at the same time?
Well, I was fortunate. I mean, my first internship became my job.
Oh.
So I was, you know.
That does not always happen.
That does not always happen. But I was very fortunate to be at a company when it was growing. You know, I was there at the right time.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where I started.
Cool. Well, it was good talking to you. I think we're about out of time. But thanks
for having me,
yeah,
Spencer.
For sure.
Thank you so much for checking out this new episode of Dark Knight Live. If you want more people to listen to the show that you are listening to, you should totally, totally leave us a review on iTunes. It means a whole lot. We are a young show, and to get charting would mean a lot for us. So you should totally, totally go check that out and leave us a review. Thank you, as always, to Rashad English of Plain English Productions for doing such great sound work with us. Anyways, see you later. Boo.